Don't move, just leave your darn mouth. Here's Mama Toot. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's Mama Toot.
This is Ed McMahon with Monitor 67, your companion for easy listening this weekend and every weekend throughout the year. In just 3 minutes, we'll be meeting actor Eli Wallach, who has successfully combined two careers, one in Hollywood and the other on Broadway. First, a bit of music with that Nashville sound.
Gonna be open to business as usual, girl. The reconstruction of my heart. Management regrets the fact that the place has been so torn apart. So please excuse the inconvenience if I sigh long. Gonna be open for business as usual in my heart. So you say my mind is always wandering. And you say my eyes are sometimes groaning. There are things I remember before the parting of the ways. But it will all be over one of these days. And I'll be open for business as usual. The destruction of my heart. Management regrets the fact the place has been so torn apart. So please excuse the inconvenience if I sigh on. Gonna be open for business as usual in my heart. Were you ever hit when you weren't looking? And suspended there between life and death. The way she said goodbye has really knocked me off my feet. But I'll be alright, just let me catch my breath. Keep me coming when all your hopes go under. And the things you planned are not to be. But you can't close up shop, for love will never find you home. And I am gonna make it, wait and see. I'm gonna be open for business as usual. The construction of my heart, the management regrets the fact the place has been so torn apart. So please excuse me. I'm gonna be open for business as usual in my heart. I'm gonna be open for business as usual in my heart.
Jack Jones, open for business as usual.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
Brooklyn-born actor Eli Wallach has spent the last several years as a commuter between Hollywood and Broadway. He divides his time between the West Coast cameras and the New York footlights, and is ranked as a performer at the very top of his profession. Yet he still has further goals he wants to attain, and he had talked about them with Monitor's Tom Evans.
You are a major star. You've appeared in so many plays and motion pictures. When you began, all the way back, if we can think back a bit, your goal, I would assume, was to become a major star.
Yes, it was. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a functioning pro.
Now that you have achieved it, was it worth it? Is it what you expected?
Listen, once you're satisfied, they might as well tie the nails down and ship you away. Mm. I think there's a kind of a ferment in all of us. I still want to go on. There are many things I'd like to do. Eventually, I'd like to have a theater somewhere, a small theater where I could go and do plays and then go out and do movies and make a lot of loot and then go back and do my plays.
The public reads and hears a great deal about the incredible salaries that are paid to artists, such as Elizabeth Taylor with her $1 million for Cleopatra, and there have been many, many others since then and before then. I wonder how much of this money actually does find its way to a performer. It's not quite that golden, is it?
No, I think, you know, it's a graduated income tax, and there are a lot of zeros on the ends of all of these things, and that when the money finally comes back down to you, it isn't quite all that. It's an illusion. I've always been amazed, too, when I was making $100 or $85, I used to think, what are they kicking about? But the fact is that with all the expenses and with all the taxes and with the fiscal years and the corporations, and before you know it, you're in trouble. An English actor gets knighted. A Russian actor gets honored artist. An American gets an accountant and ulcers. That's what.
I find from interviewing over the years many motion picture stars that they seem to prefer the stage over all else. Invariably, someone will say to me, I much prefer the live audience, the Broadway theater. That is the real life. The motion pictures are wrong.
Well, I have an answer for that, Tom. I say, if they really much prefer it, then why don't they do it?
Well,
you know, I've
never dared say that.
Well, there's an old saying, either you fish or cut the bait. Of course there are economic problems involved. You don't realize the logistics. For example, I went to England 3 years ago with my wife to do the one-act play, The Tiger. Now, do you realize what's involved? Three kids, schooling, renting a house, subletting here, income tax problems. It really multiplies. And if the play doesn't work, there you are, stuck with a six-month lease on a house. You've got rented a car, you've got to cook, blah, 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 and the schools and so on. But I say, find what you most want to do and do it. I like to do plays. Then I feel like a squirrel. I get three or four movies ahead, as they say, in the can, and then I can go ahead and do my play, which is my plan for this year.
It's an exciting life, isn't it?
Well, I like it. I can't think of... You know, interviewers often ask a loaded question. They say to me, would you want your child to be an actor? And I think, yes. If they really want to do it, yes.
The loaded question of the year these days is, how do you feel about actors and politics?
Well, I'll tell you something. For years, actors were second-class citizens. I think they're entitled to an opinion. I could ask the same question. What about lawyers as politicians? Have you ever heard some of these politicians? You know, I often wonder how they ever got there.
You don't have any personal leanings to the politics yourself at this point, do you?
I've always wanted to say this in an interview. No comment.
Eli Wallach, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Tom Evans with Eli Wallach on monitor.
Eli Wallach, star of the current film The Tiger, makes out.
Thank you.
Henderson, Strangers. You're on the go with Monitor at 18 minutes after the hour. In 4 minutes more, Joe Garagiola will be along with a look at the revival of interest in the world's heavyweight boxing title. So stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beat.
Who led the major leagues in batting in 1935?
That's right.
He played for Pittsburgh in 1935. Son of a gun. It was Archie Vaughn.
That's right.
Because he usually is right, sports fans turn to Bill Mazur for answers. Weekdays at 5 p.m., Saturdays at 6 on WNBC.
Freedom Shares can help you buy a home of your own or a college education when the children are grown. So follow the eagle, the red, white, and blue eagle. Invest in Freedom Shares, U.S. savings bonds.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Ed McMahon, continuing with Monitor 67 as we hear a song called I Feel It. And you'll feel it too, the way Miss Peggy Lee sings it.
I feel it. You know I feel love. I have never felt that true love. Darlings keep coming through love. Love, and my heart begins to come, love. And I hear the trumpet sound, love. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Right from the beginning, I could hear the melody so right from the beginning. Like a hit song, but to be a feeling. The joy your love is bringing, all the bells, the bells are ringing. Boom, boom, ba dum, boom, ba boom, ba dum,
Sports with Joe Garagiola. A look at the round-robin tournament in progress to fill the new vacant title of world's heavyweight champion of boxing. Brought to you by Associates Finance Company. And here's Joe.
You know, the best compliment a guy in sports can get is to be told he's a real pro. And that means he's a guy who can get the job done when it's needed most. Well, there are guys like that in business, too. Take my friends, the Associates, for example. They're real pros when it comes to solving financial problems. For instance, let's say that you've got a big car repair bill, or an oversized doctor or dentist bill, or just plain too many bills. Well, if you talk to the financial pros at Associates Finance Company, chances are they can help you solve those money problems quickly and conveniently, because they're nice people with money to loan you. And there's probably an office located within easy driving distance of you. So if you need money for any good purpose, look in the yellow pages for the real money pros, the Associates, nice people with money to loan you. The fourth and final bout in the heavyweight elimination tournament takes place today in Los Angeles when two-time heavyweight champion Floyd Patterson takes on young Jerry Quarry. If you don't think that things can happen fast in boxing,
One of the fighters who was in this tournament is already talking about retiring. It all started the first Saturday in August with a doubleheader in the Astrodome. Jimmy Ellis beat Leotis Martin, and Thad Spencer upset Ernie Terrell. Terrell, who was ranked fourth in the tournament when it began, has since lost again and is now talking about retiring to concentrate on his music. In the middle of September, the third bout was held in Frankfurt, Germany between Oscar Bonavina and Carl Mildenberger. Bonavina won it, but nobody got too excited because Mildenberger looked so bad. The Patterson Quarry fight has a couple of things going for it. One of them is that Patterson was the heavyweight champion of the world, not once, but twice. He hasn't been too impressive since he lost the title, but ex-champions can sell tickets. At any rate, he's the best-known fighter in this tournament. Even more important is the fact that these two men fought last June in Los Angeles, and it was a draw. Reports from people who saw the fight are that it was a good one. Quarry, they say, looked good both times he knocked Patterson down. However, the same people say that he looked bad when Patterson got up. Quarry had the opportunity to put Floyd away, but instead he let Patterson shove him around. The best indication of the kind of fight it was can be found in the way the judges and the referee voted. One voted for Quarry, and the other two called it a draw. I'm sure that both fighters have looked at the movies of their last meeting so often that they can recite the fight punch by punch. Both of them must know that certain parts of the ring seem to belong to the other guy. As long as they stay in the corners or up against the ropes, Patterson figures to be boss. If they spend their time in the center of the ring, Quarry is in charge. If desire is a factor, Patterson should wind up winning the whole tournament. All fighters want the championship, but nobody wants it as much as the guy who's already had it. On the other hand, if confidence is a factor, Patterson is in trouble. Floyd doesn't like to lose, but who does? Losing embarrasses Patterson, and after a losing fight, he's been known to put on a beard and dark glasses to get out of town. Wearing a disguise after he loses doesn't make Patterson a better fighter or a worse one, but putting that disguise in his suitcase when he leaves home has to hurt him. After today's fight, the field will be cut to four, and the next step will probably match today's winner against Thad Spencer. Just when Bonavina will fight Jimmy Ellis is still a question mark because Oscar's got a bad back. Getting back to Patterson, this has to be his last chance, which is a pretty familiar line by this time. Still, it's true, and nobody knows it better than he does. Off the last fight, this one figures to be a dandy. I just hope that Floyd Patterson didn't bother to pack a disguise when he went to Los Angeles. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. And now this for Dodge. Right now, today, your Dodge dealer has the most exciting new Dodge ever made on display. It's the all-new 1968 Charger. Charger looks exciting with disappearing headlights and sports car styling. It's exciting to drive with standard V8 power and bucket seats. And the best news of all, Charger's sticker price is reduced by over $100 this year. So stop by your Dodge dealers and look over the all-new Charger right now. Who knows, it could be your turn for Dodge fever.
Listen to Joe Garagiola's lively, entertaining coverage of sports every weekend here on Monitor. For my next act, I'm going to tell you all about a beauty product. Well, now don't laugh, because I really know what I'm talking about. It's a shampoo, a really good concentrate shampoo. It's made by the Breck people. It's called Breck Concentrate, not surprisingly. And it's what you might call a family shampoo. My wife, Alice, found it first for us. And being concentrated, well, just a little goes a long, long way and makes plenty of lather. That's not a bad idea with a bunch of kids around like ours. And being Breck, it's a very good shampoo, full of conditioners and all those things. So it even suits baby fine hair like my daughter Linda's. And it's in a plastic tube, so you don't have to worry about the kids breaking it. We take it on the boat with us in summer for that very reason. I like it because one shampoo for all of us means we don't have all those bottles cluttering up the bathroom shelf. So here's that name again, Breck Concentrate Shampoo, the McMahon Family Shampoo. You'll like it. Casino Royale, Herb Alpert, the Tijuana Brass, on Monitor 67, keeping you entertained and informed wherever you may be in the USA. In Syracuse, New York, we're carried on station WSYR. Hello, Syracuse. Now a word from the NBC station in your area, and then we'll be back. I'm Ed McMahon.
Diane Chiletto talks about her new novel. She'll talk about it on Monitor today on the NBC Radio Network.
This is David Hedison, A Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. You fly with a proud team if you fly with the Navy. If you're a college graduate, or soon to be one, find out about the Navy's Aviation Officer Candidate Program. AOC is the place for you. Visit your nearest Air Reserve activity for all the details. Visit them soon.
55 degrees in the metropolitan area, The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
This is Monitor 67. With a sigh of relief that the weekend is finally here, it's been a bad week all around. There were demonstrations at six more colleges. Negotiations broke down again in the auto strike. Washington announced another rise in the price of consumer goods. And as if all that wasn't bad enough, Johnny Carson had all his turtleneck sweaters stolen. Maybe a little music will cheer us up. Here's Andy Williams with Holly. Piano Magic of Reuben Mitchell, Dardanella.
Thank you.
This is Ed McMahon with the up-to-date sound of Monitor 67. Adding to that sound in a few minutes will be a group of young ladies who represent the Sweet Adelines, the international organization of female barbershop quartets. First, music in a different vein, a brand new one from that group known as Harper's Bazaar, with a new approach. They don't whistle at a girl, they sing to her. Bill Cullen brought to you by Antron Nylon, by DuPont, and by Alden Carpets.
All right, now we get to the fun part of it. May we meet these beautiful ladies who came in with you today, like who they are and what part they sing.
Yes, I brought with me today the Shalimars, who are from Los Angeles, California.
Oh, I knew they were good looking. I know why.
Would you like to know their names?
I certainly would.
They are Ruby Rhea, who is the tenor, Patty Staffen, the lead, Fern Hogan, the baritone, Jan File, the bass.
Okay, and now, you know what? We're going to hear an example of the technique that won in 1965 for these very Shalimars we've met today. Now, Marilyn, what are they going to sing for us?
They're going to sing, I'm Going to Live Till I Die.
I'm going to live till I die. I'm going to laugh till I cry. I'm going to take the town and turn it upside down. I'm going to live till I die. They're going to say, what a guy. I'm going to play for the sky. Ain't gonna miss a thing, I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna live till I die.
The blues will lay
low, I'll make them stay
low. They'll never
trail
over my head.
Over my head, I'll be a devil till I'm an angel. But until then,
that was marvelous, ladies. I enjoyed that ever so much. Imagine having four sisters around the house who could do that in the morning. Marilyn, how many hours would you say of practice a week it takes to get the girls into, pardon the expression, form?
Well, I would imagine that most of them, when they're getting ready for a competition like this, get together at least two or three times a week.
I understand a lot of them are married and have children. How about their husbands? How do they take to this time out for the singing activities?
You weren't supposed to ask that question.
What's your wife doing? She's out singing somewhere. Well, thank you, Marilyn, and the four lovely Shalimars. We've been talking with Marilyn Conlon, Public Relations Director for the 21st International Convention of the Sweet Adelines Ladies Barbershop Quartets. Hey, let's look to the rainbow again for more about soil-hiding Antron carpets and exciting new colors from the craftsmen of Alden Rug Mills. Gingham Gold, Robin Red, Canton Moss, they're just three of the 11 strikingly contemporary colors that are made possible by Antron Nylon, DuPont's new carpet fiber with low soil reflection. And that means high color durability. See your Alden carpet dealer. El Dorado is waiting, but why should your home?
Bill Cullen has been brought to you by Antron Nylon, by DuPont, and by Alden Carpets. The time right now is 16 minutes before the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Darling, let us have some Chateau Martin wine. Your eyes shine like Chateau Martin's sparkling burgundy. Your ruby red lips are like Chateau Martin's blackberry wine, and your body, have some Chateau Martin wine.
I bet you hand this wine to all the girls.
And they love it.
The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin Champagne, the delightful New York State champagne made from choice grapes, carefully selected from the vineyards of New York's celebrated Finger Lakes, to give you that very special Chateau Martin flavor, flavor that bubbles over and adds sparkle to every occasion. The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin Champagne.
I am about the Chateau Martin wine. My brother, the rock and roll singer.
Chateau Martin Wines, New York. Makers of famous Chateau Martin vermouth. Had any lately?
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Ed McMahon at your service with Monitor 67. Bringing you news, sports, music, and features. One of which, in a few minutes, will reveal where you can buy a rare antique car. If you happen to have $50,000 lying around. John Gary with his latest cold. Now this word from Chesterfield.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
Next on Monitor, Nancy Sinatra collaborates with Lee Hazelwood on Lady Bird.
I've been aware the eagle flies, rode his wings across the open sky, kissed the sun, touched the mountains, it's all true. When he says, I love you true, my Lady Bird. Yeah, I'm his Lady Bird.
Nice, clean, used car with a roomy interior, lots of extras included. Now, you can pick one up for only $50,000 by getting in touch with Mr. Ed Jurist of Nyack, New York. He specializes in locating these rare custom-made cars and passing them along at a profit to vintage car buffs. Mr. Jurist was interviewed for Monitor by reporter Dean Mell.
Mr. Jurist, what is the highest priced car you have for sale?
The highest priced car we have had for sale were a pair of very rare Phantom IV Rolls-Royces, which we had acquired from the Emir of Kuwait at the Dasman Palace in Kuwait. These two cars were absolutely new, and although they had been delivered to the Dasman Palace in 1956, had never been used, and they went for a total of $100,000.
A matched set?
For the pair, a matched pair.
His and hers?
His and hers, indeed.
Wonderful. And what is the least expensive automobile?
I think we've sold cars for as little as $1,800, $1,200, but good pre-war cars, which have inherent growth value or appreciation value.
What makes an old car a vintage car?
We apply the term vintage as you would apply the term vintage to a fine wine. The best of a given run, the best of a given year.
Where do you get your cars to begin with?
Well, our cars do come from all over the world, and it's a terrible search. Because in this country, the hobby has grown to such enormous proportions that thousands, tens of thousands of people are actually out banging on barn doors and in the country on weekends looking for cars. And, of course, we're always horrified by the prospect that perhaps the last barn door has fallen in, the last car has been dragged out, and there are no more to be found.
Mr. Jurist, what vintage car acquisition gave you the most trouble?
I think the one that really gave us a bad time was the discovery of a very rare supercharged Duesenberg Roadster, which was buried away in a bombed-out radio station in South America. And we were astounded to find a Duesenberg, which is a great American classic, as you know. And all we had of the car was a photograph of the top of it, surrounded by junk, tires, newspapers. But we identified it as a Duesenberg, and then later on we found to our delight that it was a supercharged model. And these are the rarest of all Duesenberg models. And we immediately entered into very complex and secret negotiations to acquire the car. Instead, the word got out in the area there, and first thing we knew, we were involved with about 8 or 10 relatives and officials and semi-officials all holding their hands out for the usual, I think they call it down there, mordida, bribe money. We paid everybody off, and the car got tied up in a terrible international tangle, a web of intricate legal and all kinds of problems. And finally, we found through our agent there and through an attorney there that there was an archaic law relating to specifically such an incident. And we forced that car into an auction, a public auction, by law. And the only way we could do it and still get the car was to take it out to a small, obscure village and publicly advertise the car, but inasmuch as the population of the village was only about 8 half Indian, we were pretty sure that we were going to get the car. And we waited patiently for the day of the auction to arrive. And to our horror, we received a cable confirmed by wireless telephone that eight members of some obscure vintage sports car club had heard about this and were going to try to prevent the car from leaving that country. And what we did, we instructed our people down there to try to delay the auction and sort of bore the other people so that they'd either go away and leave us alone or ultimately the thing was open for bids. And our bid was in the neighborhood of $1 over what had already been paid for the car. And to our complete astonishment and joy, the eight members simply kept their hands in their pockets and walked away, and we owned the car. And that car today would probably have a value of $35,000 or $40,000.
Our monitor guest has been Ed Juris, motor car connoisseur and president of the Vintage Car Store in Nyack, New York. This is Dean Mell reporting for Monitor.
Those prices are a bit steep, but at least you wouldn't see another car like yours in the commuter's parking lot. Now, this word from your United Community Campaign. One United Campaign for a number of health and welfare services keep campaign costs low. And this means that every dollar you give goes that much further to help people. Many United funds include Red Cross, Medical Research, and USO. Your one gift works many wonders, so give your fair share the United way. With a man and a woman on Monitor 67, where weekends are different. This is Ed McMahon inviting you to stay tuned for NBC News on the Hour, and then we'll be back.
Keep tuned, the latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and news now from everywhere.
About the crazy little oven that's making airline history. They laughed when TWA first came up with the idea, but then TWA turned the heat on and began serving meals like Maine lobster in Mornay sauce, roast Chateaubriand with Bordelaise sauce, and more. Sirloin steak and lamb chops cooked to order right in your jet. Rare, medium, well done. And you got it the way you wanted it every time. On flights to California, TWA offers a choice of 7 freshly cooked entrees in Royal Ambassador First Class and 4 in Jet Coach. And now the competition doesn't think it's funny at all, because more and more people are switching to TWA to get a taste of superb food. If you're going to Los Angeles or San Francisco, why not have this crazy little oven make a history-making meal for you? We fly to California every hour on the hour from 9 p.m. to 5 p.m. and cook to order on every flight. Call Mr. Information, your travel agent, or call TWA at Oxford 5, 6000. Keep ahead of the game. Join sportscaster Bill Mazur weekdays at 5 p.m., Saturdays at 6 on WNBC New York.